All right. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We'll be back in Revelation, I think 14 next week. But since it is New Year's, and I think this is a good time to reflect on some things. So I thought I would do that today. It would be great. It's good for us, you know, as individuals, certainly as organizations, as you know, as church, as an organism, I should say, to review all that the Lord has done in the past year, and what we're asking the Lord for direction in the coming year, you know, just to continue to prayerfully consider, God, what would you have us to do? And you know, that needs to be done on a daily and regular basis, of course, but this is one of those demarcations where it's like, okay, this is an opportunity for reflection. So the past year, we know, has been a testimony of God's continued faithfulness in the midst of very rapid change for us personally, and certainly surrounding our reason to exist as a part of the body of Christ. And so let's kind of take a look back at what has occurred. So by our human nature, we're subject to change. You know, just by the fact that, I mean, we live, we breathe, we're subject to change. Some by choice, others by circumstance, hopefully by the will of God. But some things must remain constant in the midst of change. Change directed by God is good and it's right. And we're called to be steadfast even in the midst of those changes, that there are some things that will not change. And our church body has undergone significant change in 2023, and I think it was in preparation for God wants to do in 2024. So, as a matter of fact, that big piece of art that's in the lobby there, in the foyer, it's something that hung in the sanctuary where we were. And it was something that caught my attention a couple of years ago, and I saw that God meant that specifically to be gifted to us at that time. And it said, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And so, again, that was the promise that the Lord made through Isaiah to the children of Israel. But we have that same precept here that the Lord does new things, and as he does new things, we need to follow that and to discard what we have done in the past if it doesn't fit with what he wants us to do in the future. So God is doing something new here, and we have to be open to his direction. We have to be open to his direction. So the biggest change, of course, is our change of address. But we've also specifically, I believe at the Lord's direction, I firmly believe at the Lord's direction, is a change of culture. You know, but if you think about the what happened in this past year, you know, God faithfully told us 2 years in advance so we could prepare for that move. And every step along the way, he brought in the right people, he brought in the right heart, so we knew that God was going to do something. And then, of course, that soft landing where, you know, we were pushed out the door, you know. We just kept saying, okay, Lord, we're ready to go whenever, you know, whenever the cloud moves, we're going to move. And we're just so excited, but yet we have no clue what's going on. And then I get that phone call from George Higdon, and it's like, well, we need to talk tomorrow, you know. You have 30 days. Praise the Lord. Great. You know, and the fact that he had prepared even the year before because of that phone call from CCL that said, hey, would you be interested in using in our space? It was a phone call. And I believe that the Lord had orchestrated even that, because the guy happened into the We Buy Any Cars next door to where we were meeting, and he called me up and he said, you've got a parking problem. You're not kidding. So, you know, would you be interested? So we were able to make that phone call there was that, what I call a soft landing. We were there, you know, just immediately. I was more worried, you know, as I'm talking to George and he gives me that 30 days, I'm protesting. Man, you got to give me 60. You got to give me 90. What are you talking about? You know, not thinking about this is what the Lord had orchestrated. So by the time I made that phone call, it's like, 30 days is fine. We got this covered. By the way, I found out that he eventually sold that building to American Home Tech. But anyway, so we've got this change of address, you know, and the soft landing, and then what happened when we were there. I mean, we moved into CCL, and I got a phone call that Sunday. Take a look at this space. Well, we'd committed to 3 months at CCL. How long is it going to take to get this done? 3 months. Lord, everything came into place. You know, and one of the final things that, or a couple of the final things that made me absolutely know that this is where we're supposed to be, first of all, is that what this place was listed for, it's not what we're paying. I made a counteroffer and she took it. A significant counteroffer, and she took it. And the fact that there was a huge problem with, once again, parking, and Saini graciously contracted with us to use that lot. By the way, that was renewed this past week, and so we've got it for another year. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Just by code, we would not be able to be here. So all these things, the Lord just put it in place, and so it's like, okay, God, this is great. So you've changed our address. And you began last year, even the year before, if I remember correctly, a change of culture. We have to change our culture to change the culture around us. Change can beget change, and I believe that in the Lord's intent, that was the Lord's intent in uprooting us in so many ways. Were we comfortable? Were we too comfortable? So the Lord said, well, I'm going to shake this up. And so we have a change of culture. There's a change of board members. There's a change of the ministry team. There's an increased focus on evangelism, both personally and corporately. There's a change in music ministry, which was completely unintended, but it's welcome. I miss the Ash Hours. I really do. As people, I miss the Ash Hours. And I certainly miss what they contributed to the church. But that's what it took for people to step up. And we have a fantastic group of people, so talented, willing to give themselves for the sake of leading us in song. And I'm just excited about what's going on, and I think that you'll be very, very blessed when these folks start to roll out. And by the way, we're going to pray for Dennis before we get out of here today, because he's struggling, man. He's got to go to Florida. So it's just terrible. He's a snowbird, and he goes down there through April-ish, and so we'll have him back here a little while. But we're very, very excited about things. So there's a change in music. There are some things that'll never change, however, in our ministry, and that is that God and not man will be at the center of what we do. That we are sinners saved by grace, and Jesus is the only source of salvation. All doctrine and practice is going to be determined by God's word. We're going to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our lives and our devotion to God. Those things cannot change. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I cling to that. And so because of that, we cling to the doctrines of faith. So when we're talking about change, we're talking about those things that God wants us to do in order to make sure that the priorities, the focus, goes out. But what we do in our relationship with the Lord, in relationship with others, will never change when it comes to the doctrines of faith. So let's review what God has done in 2023. Now, it's been, you know, so we're going to review 2023, and then we're going to make plans for 2024. So, but before we get to that, we operate under a basic principle which is derived from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47. Our goal is to edify, to unify, to magnify, and to multiply. So if you please stand, we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And again, Lord, we come before you, God, that your word would go out, Lord, and it would be used to edify us, Lord, that it would be used to change us. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, the apostles' doctrine, edify. So what we're going to be doing, of course, is a continual, purposeful teaching of the Word of God in its various forms. Sunday, Thursday, men's and women's groups, children's ministry, education, conferences, all those things it's to put out the apostles' doctrine, the Word of God, and that is to edify us. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know why everybody doesn't come to Thursday nights. As much as I love Sunday gathering, and it's an extremely important thing, this is kind of passive. You know, I'm giving you the Word of God, hopefully, and hopefully you're receiving it, hearing it. But Thursday nights, man, we're getting it. We're talking through things. You know, we're diving into the Word of God, and we're saying, well, what does this mean? And we're challenging those things. And you know, and it's not this is what I think, you know, or this is what I feel. As a matter of fact, as soon as you say this is what I feel, you're going to get the right boot of fellowship. You know, get out of here. It has nothing to do with feelings or this is how what it means to me. No, what does the Word of God say? So Thursday nights, are just marvelous. And I encourage everybody to come. So anyway, so again, in all its forms, we're going to continue the apostles' doctrine. And it says specifically, they continued steadfastly in the midst of change, in the midst of change in the culture, in the midst of change of morals. We will continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's not going to change. And we're going to use it to edify. Now, fellowship, it's that word, if you've been around the church long enough, you understand it's the word koinonia. It's that intimate fellowship, and that's our goal, is to unify, to have that fellowship, that koinonia with each other, that intimate bond of fellowship which unites us as Christians. The gospel of salvation that we share. This is what we as a church desire to promote, but can only grow among you with willing and humble hearts to have that life intimacy with each other, to know that we love one another and that we're in each other's lives and that we have that common salvation, that common fellowship, that koinonia. And so our goal as a church is to unify us as a body. The breaking of bread also is that unifying thing, communion. And it's a necessary tactical sharing of our faith with each other. You know, again, you don't sit down at the table with enemies. That was the culture of the day, and it kind of is today. You know, you sit down with friends. You sit down with family. You share. And that's why this is such a wonderful, intimate thing. And so when we have communion together, not only are we doing it because we're so excited about what God has done, but we are in reality saying, yes, I am in agreement with everybody that is in my life as a Christian that is coming together around this table. Otherwise, you're just a person sitting in a pew taking a cracker and a drop of juice. So this breaking of bread, this communion, is a necessary tactile sharing of our faith with each other. And we sit down at the table with family, not strangers. And so we can rejoice together because we are unified, because we have that fellowship with one another. And then prayer. Verse 42 and 47 kind of bring this together, because prayer unifies because we're praying together, unify as in purpose, as we pray according to his will. But it also magnifies, because that prayer can be prayers of praise for sure, but it also magnifies God in that type of praise and worship. It magnifies God because, yes, we have an understanding of your will, and we as a body are going in that direction. And there's nothing greater than that, to walk in unity to magnify the Lord. So this prayer unifies and it magnifies. And it also praises God. It magnifies, you know. Praising the Lord in our life magnifies the Lord. It's through his word, our unity of heart, our prayer, that our lives and ultimately our church praises God and magnifies him. That just means makes his name known. That means makes his glory known. So we are to encourage each other and build each other up, but that doesn't mean empty compliments, but helping each other in a time of need, helping each other to live fully under God's grace and lordship. That's what building each other up is. And that praises the Lord. That magnifies God. This world is allowed to judge us by how we love one another. The only way that happens is when we walk in Christ-like love and humility towards one another. We magnify the Lord. Wow, what's that church doing? What's so special about that place? When we do those things, we have favor among all the people. We magnify the Lord when we have favor with all the people. It is in that capacity that we reach out to others. It's when we have favor with the people that we see the Lord in his goodness in what we, his children, do. We are out in the marketplace, if you will. We're out in the neighborhoods. And because we are doing good, we're magnifying the Lord. But we're also having favor with the people. That doesn't mean, you know, there are a lot of ministries out there that I've been a part of and have walked away from because their goal changed. It was, we want to feed you, but what that does is gives us opportunity to bless you with the word of God. It gives us opportunity to bring you into an understanding of the love of God. And then it just became, well, we're going to feed you. So we're not out there just feeding to feed. You know, we're not out there just clothing to clothe. We're extending it in the name of Jesus Christ. And it needs to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you have favor with all the people and you give them opportunity, you give reason for them to have a conversation with you about these things, and you have an opportunity to give them the word of God to draw them into a relationship with the Lord. So preaching the gospel, helping the helpless, the poor, the infirm, having favor with all the people. We're called to do that. And then it says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the multiplication. We are not in control of the multiplication, you know. We can't multiply. We can't save anybody. So only the Lord can add to the church, meaning only he can save. Our obligation is to make him known. Healthy sheep beget sheep. When you know the gospel and your desire is to know and love God, you will desire to let others know. There is certainly an element of letting people know we are here, you know, as a church, but our greatest desire is for God to add to the church, not worry about filling our seats. It's not about nickels and noses. I would encourage you, you know, yes, promote your church. If you love your church, promote your church. If we're doing the right things, invite people to your church. Please do that. But if you're just shearing the sheep and just, you know, trying to recruit people from other churches, no. No, 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 no. The Lord adds. We want those people that don't know Jesus. Oh, and there's a bunch. The fields are white with harvest. Pray that we might, that the Lord might thrust workers into that field and that the Lord multiplies. So there's certainly an element of letting people know that we are here, and I would encourage you to do that. But our greatest desire is for God to add to the church and not worry about filling our seats. We welcome all, but we should focus on the unsaved. Your obligation is information. God's obligation is salvation. Let's get the word out. So let's review 2023. Now, it's been said that to determine what your priorities are versus not what they should be, look at where you spend your time and money. So I'm going to bore you to death with pie charts. All right, these are our total expenses for the year, $183,000. That's what we spent last year. Now, if you look at it, there's a great big blue section of pie, almost three quarters, that says facilities. Now, that's very much outside spending. As a matter of fact, that amount that we spent is very much outside outsized spending. We don't, that's not near our budget year over year. But it's good to remember that when the Lord told us in August of 21, that we were going to move, immediately we started saving for that very inevitability. And so we were socking away funds, at a decent rate, and so that became our budget per se. And through God's grace, folks added to that. So over those 2 years through donations and through saving, we came up with a budget. Well, we got about 25% over what we were hoping for, which isn't really bad. So that's going to change dramatically next year. That level of spending is going to change dramatically next year. So again, that's a huge piece of the pie on a much expanded budget at that point. So, but that big piece of pie includes not only the moving and the building out, but also the rent and the insurance and the utilities and all that kind of fun stuff. Okay, so that's what we spent money on last year. Missions, gifts, donations, ministry, all those things. They came up to 14% of our budget. And that can be broken down like this. Three quarters of those went internationally. The largest part of that, by the way, is our support of CC Ukraine. We're continuing. I'm just so blessed by the work that they're doing with the refugees there. Just so blessed. And people are coming to know the Lord because they're having favor with the people. And they're magnifying the Lord. So, yeah, we're going to continue to do that. They're continuing. I mean, this is just amazing. Their story is just so amazing. I don't know when Ben has any plans of coming back to the United States, but if he does, I would love to have him here to kind of go through some of the things that that they've been going through. So that includes CC Ukraine, Joshua Fund, Lifeline Missions, which included both a work trip as well as support. We're supporting a special needs person at this point, and if anybody wants more information on that, then I'll be happy to give it to them. Jesus to Muslims, all those things have national and international types of impact. And then the local missions is Block, which supports Price Hill, Hope Ministries, which we want to become more involved in. That was through support, we're actually supporting them. Denise goes shopping once a month, or we couldn't last year so much, but she went shopping last month, and there's a budget specifically for that, so she can spend so much money for that. But I would ask that you all consider starting to bring in food as well. The problem increases. The more that the economy, tanks, the more the shape of homelessness and poverty changes. And there's a great need. And this is a way for us to be in and helping those folks. So that's part of the local missions, which included, by the way, giving out Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. Some of you all participated that and going through the shopping trips, those folks to go through and buy Christmas items for their family. And then also Samaritan's Car Care. When we were at CCL, I invited Bruce Kittner, who's a very, very dear friend of mine. He just began out of his church, began this ministry where he was helping change the oils and the wiper blades and the headlights and stuff for mostly working mothers and single mothers kind of thing. They were just, an opportunity to give the gospel. And that has expanded. He actually left his job, very, very high-paying job in banking, to become the CEO of Samaritan Car Care. And so they've got a very nice facility down in Covington, I think, that was built out. And he continues, he has much more need than he can handle. So he's looking for volunteers to work on cars. He's certainly working on cash, asking for cash in order to to continue to sustain this. So I asked him to come in, and I asked him to come back in March for an update. So if anybody is interested in that kind of thing, you know, they know a bit about cars, you know, changing brakes, changing oil, what, you know, whatever the case may be, then I would encourage you to pray about being a part of that. So anyway, that was part of our local ministry. My philosophy is, if it's being done, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. But if God has put something very specific on our hearts to do, like in this neighborhood, then let's do it. Let's do it. If God has put something on your heart, then let's pray about what that can look like. All right. Next, we have ministries. What we did in 2023, you know, again, our primary focus is not evangelism for its own sake, but to make you passionate about your love and relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, and then equip you on sharing the most important thing in your life with others. The world has a message that leads to destruction, and we see its impact. You have the message of salvation, of freedom, of eternity. You have the message of joy, of fulfillment. People need to hear it. So, we did Way of the Master training. We created the F-cards and tracks throughout the year. We went to St. Patrick's Day Parade. You know, one of the most fun things you can ever do is give a story of St. Patrick on a track to the guy who's dressed like St. Patrick. You know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you go out there, and they're all happy. They're all drunk, but they're all happy. And they'll talk to anybody. You know, so we went to the Memorial Day Parade, passed out tracts. We went to the Union Independence Day, actually participated. We're, you know, driving through and throwing frisbees and giving tracts, and it was a great time. And if you want, you can actually go on Calvary's YouTube page and see that. We went to the Lunken Airport. There was a flea market booth. We went to Boone County Fair. Again, you can see that on YouTube. That was 8 days, 10 days, 7 days, something like that. Yeah, we had a booth. And folks, there were a lot of folks that went in and out of that booth, and that was just a marvelous time of the body of Christ getting out there, and I understand there's some tremendous conversations. Did we see any fruit from it? Not our problem. Ours is to inform. Ours is to sow seed. Ours is to water. The Lord brings to salvation. The Lord brings to harvest, okay? We went down to Riverfest. Passed out tracts. Halloween, there was a lot more folks that were interested in, you know, just realizing, you know, I've got a lot of pagans coming to my door. So more folks were more willing to actually get candy tracts, you know, and hand things to those folks that are coming to their door. And then, of course, the door hanger invitations. Great participation. We hung 500 door hangers throughout the neighborhood here inviting folks to church. So we did last year. What do those ministry expenses look like? The majority of it, of course, was outreach, the very things that I just talked about. You know, there were some small items, you know, for men's ministry, women's ministry, etc. The biggest thing was outreach. That was a change. That was a change in 2023. You know, we hadn't really, you know, focused on it to the point where we were putting our resources behind those things. And I'm excited about it. Very excited about it. The last slide, just to have full disclosure, is pastoral expenses. Baby needs a new Mercedes, right? I get a housing allowance. And then I also, there's a pastor's conference that Denise and I go to once a year. 7% of the budget. So again, so that's what happened in 2024. Those are the large categories. And again, that gives you a picture of where our focus was. That gives you a picture of what God put on our heart, and you know, and that so much of that is a culture change. So, what do we want to do in 2024? Well, the facilities are, I mean, by and large, they're done. But there are a couple of major things that we want to do. We're looking to convert that storage room into an actual AV room, so we can move the equipment off of the floor, and put them back there. And we're taking bids for that. Help is needed for organizing the storage rooms and the storage shed, and for weekly cleaning. We do have a team, a crew that has volunteered, but they're, you know, obviously the more folks, the better. So those are some of the things that are necessary with the facilities. Now, edification. What are we going to be doing next in 2024 regarding edification? Of course, continuing to teach on Sundays, continuing to teach on Thursdays, continuing men's and women's studies, but we will be evaluating those on a regular basis to see what it is that we need to be doing. I'm convinced that one of the greatest things that we can do is to continue to pray as men, but is there something more or something different that is needed? So we'll be continuing to pray about that. Children, of course, that's we're changing up the curriculum. We're praying about what it is that that we need to be doing there. Of course, as mentioned, there was a marriage conference that's coming up March the 1st and 2nd. There are others planned. I've asked our ministry team to pray with me about what is needed to in order to edify the body here. And so others things will be coming out through 2024. I believe that there's a need for an increased focus on discipleship. I'm convinced, and I don't say this to be insulting, I'm very concerned overall with the body of Christ about biblical literacy and about the fundamental doctrines of the faith. And for me to think, well, it's out there, but we're fine, I think would be just arrogance. So there needs to be an increased focus on discipleship, and I hope you all are excited about learning about the fundamental doctrines of faith. More than what we can do just on a Sunday night, more than what we can just do on a Thursday night, you know, and there are certainly some, hopefully there are wonderful conversations that are going on amidst each other as we're building each other up in our faith, but I think that there needs to be an increased focus on discipleship. So that's coming up in 2024. My desire and our ministry team's desire is to help you develop the gifts God has given you to use for his purposes. And I think that that requires that we sit down together and really think about what it is we believe. So, I'm also praying, have been praying for years, that some of you might reach out and start home Bible studies in your neighborhoods, inviting your neighbors for home Bible studies. I think that that's the future of the church, frankly, you know, when ultimately things come down, and I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get raptured before the government decides to just take over completely. You know, I don't know. But I'm seeing our freedoms not being chipped away anymore. They're being sliced off. And so I think that we need to continue to be prepared to be meeting. And the best way to do that is to have a home Bible study. And that's the best way to reach out to people as well, you know, to invite people into to hear the Word of God. So that's 2024, that's edifying, unifying. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If you would go ahead and turn to that, please. This is something also that the Lord has really been putting on my heart lately. It's just been a kind of a theme throughout the past year. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If you can't find that, somebody told me when I first got saved, if you get to Galatians, Ephesians, or Philippians, or Colossians, just remember it's in between there because it just said Greek seek pork chops. That's free. Anyway, Philippians 2, 1 through 8. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So our unity is based on humility, Christ-like humility. And that is going to be a focus this year, is humility, Christ-like humility. And so the question we're going to be asking ourselves all the time is, am I being Christ-like? That should be on our minds all the time. Am I being Christ-like? And by that I mean to the point where he, it says, humbled himself even to the point of death. That doesn't mean giving up the truth. Jesus never wavered from the truth. But my greatest humility is striving to be like Jesus. And when that happens, when we all do that, that brings unity. It says it right there. That brings unity. So how do we unify? A common focus and goal, bearing one another's burdens. We are to bear one another's burdens, but we're also to work side by side in ministry. That's one of the greatest. My greatest appreciation is for people. Now, I love you all. Don't get me wrong. But my greatest appreciation for people is somebody that I've linked arms with. I've been in the battlefield with, you know. There is this idea between soldiers of this band of brothers, right? It's real when you're in doing the things of God, you're linking arms with somebody and you're walking in unity because you've got that goal, you've got that focus. And there's an appreciation and there's a greater sense of, there's a greater depth of appreciation for the person that you're working with when you're working side by side in ministry. If you're feeling disconnected in this church, I challenge you to get involved. It's not the church's responsibility to make sure you're involved. It's your responsibility. We want to give you opportunity. That's our obligation. But if you feel disconnected from this church, it's on you. You need to get involved. Fellowship with one another outside of the church is another thing. Step out of your comfort zone. Say, hey, do you want to get together for lunch? Can we go have a cup of coffee? I want to find out more about you. And again, working together in ministry. Those are the things that we have to do. So, magnifying the Lord. Continuing to look at the quality of our services. I got to love APB, man. Bless his heart. Him and his family have been going through illness, you know, like it's popcorn. Just like, you know, one after another. And he texted me this morning. He said, I've never missed two Sundays in a row. I just don't. It's like, yeah, dude, I miss you, you know. I miss the fellowship. But, right, even right now, he's monitoring this live stream. Because he has an interest in quality. And so, you know, we want to make sure that what we're presenting as a church, you know, to the public, you know, is getting better and better and better. And so there's a quality of our gatherings. But also, more importantly, that when we come together, there's a quality. You know, there's nothing wrong with discussing football. There's nothing wrong with, you know, discussing whatever, you know. But man, when we're talking about the things of the Lord, when we're gathered together, that's a great thing. So the quality of our services together, quality of our time together. Of course, a change in the music direction. Again, wasn't intended, but the Lord had something in mind. And so we're going to see that. But we're also going to continue to emphasize and teach the word. But we need to make sure that we're living biblically. That we are living biblically. That goes back to the need for discipleship. Are we living according to the Word of God? And if you're not, that's not a condemnation, it's an invitation. Come. Come, let's. The Lord says, come, let us reason together. So come. And a lot of times it's just a matter, it's not even a matter of learning everything you need to know. It's acting on the things you do. No. And as you do, you find the faithfulness of God is right there. So live biblically, and that magnifies the Lord. Our desire as a church is to make sure, our desire as the church, as the body of Christ here, should be to make sure that we are living biblically. And then, of course, outreach to community. Sometimes it's about sending, sometimes it's about supporting, sometimes it's about sowing. Locally, you know, mission support, of course, international and local, we're still doing that. That's support. We're actually just sending funds, you know, but sometimes sending. You know, we want to support God's direction in your ministry. So if God has said something, you know, has told you this is what he has called me to do, then let's talk about that. If that's something that the church can help, that's not a promise, but if that's something the church can help with, then we need to evaluate that. You know, we say, okay, this is what God has called you to do. How can we potentially help you in doing those things? We can definitely help you to, you know, through the Word of God and through prayer and through, you know, and that kind of support for sure, you know. But if God is calling you to be sent somewhere, to be doing something, then let's talk about that. And then, of course, there's sowing. You know, neighborhood, city. Are we making an impact? Are we making an impact? Some of the things, something we need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis is what would happen if we, as a church, closed? Would anybody miss us? So, evangelism. First Sundays, everybody's invited. Everybody's invited, first Sundays. You know, whenever the way the master class ends up, February-ish, into February-ish, something like that. You know, and that's okay. You know, we're going to do it again later in the year. But that first Sunday, everybody's invited because it's the opportunity to glorify God, to give and to hear testimony, to be excited about what is doing in other people's lives. Come. Just notice in advance. So there's enough food, or bring your own. But you come. So there's first Sundays. And again, next year for sure, Boone County Fair, River Fest. Perhaps we're going to be in parades again. I know we're going to be there passing out tracts. Right now I'm working on a location so we can have an outdoor service in one of the parks, just trying to figure out which one's best for, you know, our particular location, and what the... what the dynamic, the logistics of that would be. So look for that in the future. And again, that's just an opportunity to just rejoice in the Lord publicly and to hopefully to bring people, you know, bring the opportunity of talking to other folks about the Lord. Multiplying. Again, only God can multiply because only God can save. So prayer and action provides the environment. Prayer changes our hearts and minds. Prayer brings our will under God's will and gives us a heart that desires the things of God's heart. And so prayer is so important, and we need to continue to pray. We need to pray for the health of this body. We need to pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We need to pray for the salvation of this neighborhood. We need to be praying for the neighborhood that is outside here, the neighborhood that's over here. We need to be praying for these neighborhoods. We need to be praying for our neighborhoods. We need to be asking God what it is that he would have us to do. Not just pray, but do. And in doing so, we multiply the Lord. We magnify the Lord, and he will multiply. Only God can multiply because only God can save. But we have a part in it as much as we pray, as much as we provide the environment. So how do we take this home? Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Understand that this is your fellowship and your responsibilities to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I'm asking you to find it in your heart to grow in love everybody here and to see them in a very, very different light. I encourage you to be a part of what God is doing here and to see where this goes. When, you know, should the Lord tarry and we're here at the end of next year and we're looking back and just go, how could we possibly have known what God was going to do? But that's only because we're ready. It's only because we have a passion to do what God wants us to do. And that starts with prayer, and it certainly expands when you look at this as your fellowship and that you have a responsibility to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is so important that you become a part of what God is doing here. And certainly pray for me. Pray for the ministry team that helps in these decisions of the church and the way things are going. You've got a godly group, a very, very godly group of men and women and a group of men and women who love you to the depths of their heart and who are talented and wise. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because I count on them greatly. And pray for each other. Begin to foster relationships with each other. And that is how we're going to go forward in 2024. Join me in prayer. I'm just going to pray, and then if you guys want to pray out loud, please do. We're just going to spend a couple minutes. So, Lord, again, everything that we have said, everything that we've proclaimed here, God, we want to lay before you. Lord, if there's anything in 2023 that happened that we need to repent of, God, now would be a time for us to consider that. Lord, if there's anything at all that we are missing or anything at all that you are that I've gotten wrong going forward, Lord, we open that up completely and totally to you. This is your agenda, Lord, not mine, not ours. This is your agenda. And Lord, we desire more than anything else for it to be just that. Lord, we don't know what we're doing. We rely so fully and totally on you, as it should be. Lord, I pray for the hearts of everyone here, that they might know your love greatly, that they might know how much you love them and the depths that you went to show that, and that our lives would be a reflection of that love, that our lives would serve to magnify a great and gracious and holy and merciful God. And that everything that we do because and for you. We ask now that we would be just overwhelmed by your Spirit, that we might see the fruit thereof. We ask that we would be overwhelmed by your Spirit, that we might use the gifts that you are willing to give in order to do the things that you desire to do in our lives and through our lives. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you.